Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to see you. So good to see those of you joining us online today. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online family? Come on, let's hear it for them. So my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and some of you know that a couple of months ago, we've had to do some remodeling at our home. We have one of those homes built in 1966 in the Cutler Bay area, and if you heard anything about those homes, they've got cast iron pipes that are all deteriorating, and so they've got to come into your house, and because the pipes are under the house, they've got to dig a 2 feet wide and 2 feet deep trench through the middle of your house and change the piping. And so we just took the opportunity to do some other remodeling. We're actually moving out of our house. We've moved out of our house, and we're in an apartment for about 8 months while they get all this remodeling done. So you can imagine, we had to clear everything out of our house. I mean everything. And so the house isn't big, but we raised 5 kids in that house. And you can imagine what kind of stuff you accumulate in all those years. 30 years in that house with 5 kids. And so we went through boxes and bins and all stuff. And we had stuff squished everywhere. We went out, and so, but as we're going through that stuff, and you know, that those bins and all that stuff, you can sometimes make some interesting discoveries. I actually found a couple interesting things that no idea that was in those bins. Here's one of them. This is a letter sweater from high school. This is the actual one I wore in high school. Still in pretty good shape, don't you think? Well, high school was just a few years ago, so that's why it's in such good shape. I can't believe this was in there. We wore this in high school for varsity basketball. And then here's something I found that I thought was interesting. This is my dad's bowling shirt. So my dad's been passed on now for about 10 years, but he's got his name on the front and Fisher's Trucking in the back. This is kind of cool. My dad's bowling shirt. I got one more for you. Here's a jersey from high school. Again, another jersey from high school I found. This on the front, got my name and number on the back from high school. And I tried it on the other day, and it still fits from high school. Look, here's a picture coming up on screen. Look, it still fits from high school. Crazy. I wonder how many of you can still fit from high school. crazy. So, you know, we're going through all those things. And listen, here's the deal. These bins were always there. They were always there. I always knew they were there, but it took a specific set of events to unpack them. This weekend, we kick off a brand new series called Say Your Prayers. This weekend, we are looking, and this series is looking at arguably the most famous prayer ever said of all time. We call it the Lord's Prayer. We call it Our Father, different names. And many of you know the prayer because you've heard it, you've memorized it, even if you've never opened a Bible before. You've probably heard it, you've probably seen it, you've probably recited it at different times, different locations, different places. The most famous prayer, the Our Father prayer. And so, but here's the deal with that prayer. There is so much in it. There's so much in that prayer. It's so much dealing with life today, issues we're dealing with today, issues our world is facing today. So much is in that prayer. But so many of us have never taken the time to really unpack it. We recite it, we say it, but do we really think about what's in it? There's so much in it. So for the next 8 weeks, we are going to be unpacking what's in the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, for the next 8 weeks. So here's the deal. You've got to make plans today to join us for all 8 weeks. It's going to be a fantastic series as we unpack what's really in the Lord's Prayer. So whether you join us in person, whether you join us online, if you can't make it on the weekend, you watch it on YouTube, you've got to be for all 8 parts of this series. It's going to be a great series. And so today, so those of us that, most of us probably know the prayer, at least parts of the prayer. So if you know it, say the first part of it with me. Ready? Here we go. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, that's good. Good start. You guys know it. Yeah. So that's a good start. So our Father who art in heaven. By the way, art is not his name. I just want you to know that. So our Father art in heaven. So look, today, I just want to look at that first line. Actually, I just want to look at the first two words. Our Father. Our Father. Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray like this. He said, our Father. Now, for us, we hear those words, our Father, it's no big deal. But do you realize that when Jesus, back in Jesus' day, when he said, pray like this, and he said, call God Father, say, our Father, it blew their minds. The Bible is composed of 66 books, 66 individual books that make up the Bible. 39 of those in the Old Testament before Jesus came, 39 books. Out of those 39 books, do you know how many times God is referred to as our Father in those 39 books? Thousands of years, he's only referred to as Father in the Old Testament of the Bible 7 times. When then Jesus came, he referred to, in the Gospels, he referred to as our Father over 150 times. So you can imagine that when he said our Father, now the people back in the day, back in Jesus' day, they thought about him as creator, as Lord, as King, as God, as powerful, but not as our Father. When Jesus showed up, he turned everything upside down. And when Jesus said, I want you to call God our Father, their minds were poof, blew their minds. Like, they just didn't think that you could ever call God Father. So what is going on? Well, Jesus is exploding all the current ideas that people had about God. That he's not an angry tyrant, that he's not a cosmic cop, that he's not an impersonal force, that he's not all the other things people have made out to be. He is simply our Father. Now, I realize that term Father can be both good news and bad news to those of us joining here today in the service. I realize that because, look, some of you had earthly fathers who were amazing. And if you had an earthly dad, earthly father who was amazing, you should be thanking God right now for the earthly father you had. Some of you didn't have an earthly father who was so amazing. And sometimes when you hear the word father, it can conjure up all kinds of images. And what we often do, and this is not, everybody does this, we tend to project on God the image of our earthly father. We just do. We don't even think about it. It just happens. We tend to project on God the image of our earthly father. So if you didn't have a father who was so great, for example, if you grew up with an unreasonable father, you're going to tend to think God's unreasonable. That, you know, you might have grown up with a dad who just, no matter what you did, was never good enough. You could just never measure up to dad, to my dad's standards. You could just never quite measure up. And you know, he asked you to do things you could possibly never do. And if that's what you think, sometimes you're going to project that on God, that he's unreasonable. Or maybe if you grew up with an unreliable father, you tend to think that God's unreliable, that, you know, maybe you grew up with a father who made lots of promises. We're going to go and do this, and we're going to go and do this, and we're going to go and do this. And just never happened. You never went and did any of those things. And so you tend to say, well, I don't know for sure if I can trust my dad. You know, he doesn't keep his promises. And if that's the dad you grew up with, the father you grew up with, then you tend to think the same thing about God, that he can be a little unreliable. Or some of you might have grown up with an uninvolved father. Maybe a father who wasn't there, just never knew your dad. Or maybe he was there, but never really there. And if you grew up with a dad like that, you're going to tend to think that God is distant and detached, like your dad was. I mean, some of you, you kind of knew, you said, my dad loves me, he just doesn't love me enough to be with me. And some of you might have had a dad like that, and if you did, then sometimes we tend to project that on God. And all these things can affect and impact the way we view God. And so when you hear sometimes the words, our Father, there can be a lot of stuff going on. But let me just say this to those of us today. If you had a father like that, can I just say, God's not like that. He's not like that. You have a Father in heaven who loves you, who cares about you, who sees you. who has your best interest at heart. That's the kind of father you have. And so what I want to ask us to do as we begin this series this weekend is I want to ask us, look, to throw out all these misconceptions we might have about God. Just take them in your mind. Just toss them out. And for the next, for today, at least for today, and for the next several weeks, I just want to ask you, just give a clean slate and let's look at who God really is, because there is a God who said to call him Father, who wants a relationship with you. Not a religion, but a relationship. So I want to talk about this today. So I'd love for you to do something with me. I'd love for you to locate some message notes. Now, here's how you locate the message notes. They're not printed on paper. They're on your phone. Here's how you find them. You go to the Miami Vineyard app. If you haven't yet downloaded our app, just go to the App Store, search Miami Vineyard. It's a free download. Or if you're in the room today, there's a card in your seat back in front of you. Scan this QR code, and you can download our Miami Vineyard app. It's a free download. It has the verses on it, the Bible verses on it. It has blanks, a couple blanks if you want to fill those in, right there in that app. So here we go. I'm going to give you, so what kind of Father is our Father in heaven? Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. What kind of Father is he really? So let me give you a couple, three things about our Father in heaven. Here we go. Here's the first thing. He is caring. He's caring. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, I got a lot of favorite stories, but one of my favorite stories is one time Jesus is in a boat with his disciples, his 12 disciples, and they're just crossing this body of water, and out of nowhere a storm comes up. And now look, they're not a massive storm. I mean, like a mini hurricane out of nowhere, just going crazy. And so look, they're not in this big yacht like you see parked down at Ocean Reef, you know, with radar and television. No, they're in some little wooden boat, and they're crossing over. And these guys are professional fishermen. They've been on the water their whole lives. But I'm telling you, this is a massive storm. Water is coming in the boat, and these guys are freaking out like they're going to die. Now look, let me just pause here. Let me just tell you something here about life, okay? When Jesus is in your boat, you're not going down, right? Some of you in the room online with me right now, listen. Some of you came today for nothing else than this. You've got stuff going on in your life right now. When Jesus is in your boat, you're not going down. You got lots of stuff happening. You got stuff, you got problems, you got issues, we can name them all. Hear me. When Jesus is in your boat, you're not going down. So the disciples, right? They're freaking out. They're not thinking when Jesus is in the boat, they're not going down. But he's in the boat. He's in the boat. So, hey, somebody go find Jesus. And so they find Jesus. You know where Jesus is? He's sleeping at the bottom of the boat. This is how concerned he is about what's happening right now. He's just chilling in the bottom of the boat. He's sleeping. And they wake him up, and they say this classic line, Lord, don't you care? How many times have we said that line in life? So many things happening in our life. Different times, different places, different ways. How many times have we said, Lord, don't you care? God, don't you care? Did you see that health report? Did you see that doctor's report? God, don't you care? Do you see the mess in my marriage? Don't you care? Do you see the Miami Dolphins? Don't you care? Do you see the gas prices? Do you see the inflation rate? Do you see the financial impact this is having on me? Don't you care? God, we're trying to get pregnant. It's not happening. God, don't you care? So what's the answer to that question? If you go through the Bible, almost every page of this book gives you the answer to that question. And the answer is absolutely and a resounding yes. God cares. He cares deeply about you. He cares what you're going through. He's a caring father. He cares about every detail of your life. In fact, That passage, the Lord's Prayer, is found in Matthew chapter 6, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew's chapters 5, 6, and 7 are all this very famous discourse Jesus gave called the Sermon on the Mount. This contains the Lord's Prayer. And right after he gives the Lord's Prayer, he goes off. Jesus goes off to another illustration. He talks about how God cares about you. He cares about everything about you. In fact, it goes on to say that he has every hair on your head numbered. For some of you, that's not too difficult. But he has every hair on your head numbered. And might I also add, God also knows their true color. Yeah, he does. God does. And what is Jesus saying? He's saying that he cares about the detail of your life. Every detail of your life, God cares about. And so how do we know in our life when we've kind of gone away from trusting God a little bit and doubting God? You know how you know? Every time it's the same reason. Here's how you know. When you worry. Every time we worry. Worry is a warning light that we forgot that God cares. That we have a God who cares, who cares, who cares. Every time we worry. Now, I'm not saying there shouldn't be things we should worry about, but when you get worried, our first thought's worry, our second thought should be, we got a God who cares. First thought's worry. Second thought is, our Father. Our Father. Our Father. Our Father who's in heaven. You care, you care, you care. So look what Jesus said in that same discourse. He said, so don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows all these things. He cares, he cares, he cares. First thing I want you to write down today is that he's caring, he's caring. Here's the second thing, if you're taking notes, here's the second thing. Not only is he caring, number two says, he is close. He is close. Let me ask you a question. Does this ever happen to you? Because it happens to me all the time. Whenever I get into a conversation with somebody who's not from Miami, probably not from Florida, but you know, you get into a conversation with somebody who's from another state, and you tell them you live in Miami, and almost everybody thinks, when they find out you live in Miami, they think you live on the beach. Does that happen to you? Come on, does it happen to you? You live on the beach? Yeah, every live on the beach. If you're online with us right now, just put in the chat, on the beach, on the beach. They all think I live on the beach. I mean, not everybody lives on the beach. Very few of us live on the beach. I live in Cutler Bay. If I want to go to the beach, it takes me an hour to get to the beach. But let me tell you something about God. God is not an hour away. He's right here. He's right here. Notice what the Bible says. God did this so people would what? So people would what? Reach out for him and find him, since he's not far from each of us. Do something with me right now, would you please? Just put your arm in front of you like this. Just extend your arm in front of you. Now don't hit the person in front of you in the back of the head unless you want to. Just put your arm in front of you. You know what this is? This is how close God is. This is how close he is. He says, he's not far from any of us. You can reach out. He's right there. Every time you feel like God is distant, and look, we feel like that. I feel like that. We all feel like that. We feel sometimes that, God, where are you in the midst of all of this mess? You just do this. He's right here. He's right here. He's right here. That's where God is. He's right here. He's a close father. He's a close father. He's right here. He's right here. And as I said before, some of you didn't grow up with a father who was close. Some of you might have grown up with a father who was absent or was aloof or even abusive. So let me give just a word to those of you who grew up with a father who was less than perfect. First thing I want to say to you is this. I'm sorry. I mean it. I really am. I'm sorry that that was your experience with your father. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But also know this, that God's not like that. That even if you had an earthly father who may not have wanted you, I want you to know that you have a heavenly father who does. He wants you. He wants you. He loves you. He cares about you. God planned for you, has a purpose for you. That's why I love birthday celebrations. I love it. Not because of all the stuff or the gifts or the presents or the cake or the ice cream, although I do love the cake and the ice cream, but not about that stuff. I love it because it's on that day. Your birthday is the day that God decided that you should be created. God decided you should be born on that day. I love that. So When we celebrate birthdays at our family, we celebrate that. Now, we celebrate everything else too, but we celebrate that. And I have the honor of saying a prayer for whoever's birthday it is in our families, extended families. And I thank God that on that day, this person was born into this family. Because why? Because God loves you. He sees you. He cares about you. That's the kind of father we have. That's the kind of father we have. You know, the first word in the Middle East, you know, Jesus was in Israel, the Middle East. The first word that a child learns to say in the Middle East is the word Abba, Abba, Abba. And by the way, it's not a Swedish rock group. For those of you who didn't get that, just watch the movie Mamma Mia. Okay, that's what the movie's all about. Do you know what the word Abba means? It means, yeah, father, but it's even more than father. It means, it takes it a step further. It means daddy. The word Abba means daddy. It means papi. Daddy, like father is father, but daddy is like a whole nother realm. Daddy, it means daddy. That's what the word Abba means. It means, and when Jesus said, he referred to, when he took it from father, and when he took it to Abba, it's like, whoa. People just like, what? Why? Because what Jesus is saying is God wants to be in a relationship with you. No one questions the relationship when you say daddy. They know there's a relationship there. And God's saying, look, this is a relationship I want you to have with your heavenly father. I want you to call him daddy, daddy, daddy. You know, I remember when my 5 kids were young and just learning to talk. And one of the first words they learned to say was da, dada, dada. And I loved it because they always learned how to say dada before they could say mama. It was the best. My kids are older and gone now, and you know, but I still love it. I still love it when my kids still call me dad, and I love it when they get on the phone and they call me daddy. Oh, it just breaks every time they call me daddy. It's just the best. But I've learned something over the years. I've learned that when they call me daddy, it's never just to say hi or I love you. It's always because they what? They, oh, you know. Oh, it's because they want something. And almost always it's called money. Yeah. You know. Yeah, you know. So what Jesus is saying here with this prayer thing is he's saying, look, when you pray, call God Father. When you pray, you can even take it a step further. Jesus saying, you can even press it further if you want. You can actually think of God as Daddy. It's crazy when you think about it. Still to this day, it kind of blows your mind. I mean, it really blew their minds 2,000 years ago. But even to this day, it still blows our mind. Like, I can't like think of God like that. But that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying you can have a relationship, not religion, a relationship that our Father, this, really, look, this whole prayer, do you realize this prayer, our Father? Do you realize that Jesus never intended, this might blow your minds a little bit, Jesus never intended for us to memorize this prayer and say this prayer. Do you realize that? He never intended for it to be a bead on the rosary that you just get to and you touch that bead and you pray a memorized prayer. Do you realize that? He never intended for this prayer to be a memorized prayer. Now, I know, look, I still say the prayer. You still say the prayer. I do. This morning, earlier this week, Wednesday morning, I sat in my car before the sun rose. I had a crazy week last week. I sat in my car before the sun rose. And my brain was so going crazy about everything. I couldn't even think of what to pray. So I said this prayer. I said the Our Father prayer. But Jesus never intended for us to pray it like a memorized prayer. He said, look, I'm going to teach you this prayer, but this prayer is, I don't want you to recite it. This prayer is to give you ideas of what to pray for. Ideas about what to pray for. So when you pray, you call God Father. You know where he is, he's in heaven, but these are just ideas. He didn't say, pray like this. He said, this is how you should pray. Pray with these ideas in mind. Pray with these thoughts in mind. That's what we intended our Father to be. Now, it's not wrong if you pray the Our Father prayer, but just imagine it like this. Imagine if you're in a friendship with somebody, a relationship with somebody, a husband, a wife, whatever, just a friend. And every time you talk to that friend, they would say the same words over and over and over again. Nothing ever new. Every time you talk to them, same words over again, you're going, bro, what's up with? Like somebody's got to teach them some new words. God wants to hear from you. God doesn't want to hear the Lord's Prayer every time you pray to him. Not sometimes, sure. But he wants to talk to him, to be in relationship with him. That's the whole point of the first line. Our Father. Dad. The whole first line is about relationship. I want to be in relationship with you. The prayer begins with relationship. I want to be in relationship with you. So number one, he's caring. Number two, he's close. Number three, if you're taking notes, he is capable. Not only is he caring and close, he's capable. You know, when my kids were growing up, it never ceased to amaze me the things my kids expected me to fix. I mean, some things they wanted me to fix the weather. Like, Dad, can you make the rain stop? Some days they wanted me to shorten the school year. Can you imagine? They would bring me their headless Barbies. My girls are, Dad, the head fell off. Well, it's like broke. So you know what I do? Sneak out, buy them a new one, and give it to them. They don't know the difference. Yeah, little dad trick there. Computer games. But look, I know all things, can fix anything, and can afford everything. And if you grew up with a dad, you probably did too. You probably thought your dad could do anything. I mean, dads, when you're a kid, a dad is a superhero. But you get a little older, and you realize, you know, Dad, there's some things Dad just can't do. Dad has limited resources. Dad has limited wisdom. Dad has limited abilities. There's a lot of things Dad can't do. But your Heavenly Father, he can do anything because he is God. He is God. Look at this next verse on your outlines. Jeremiah 32:17 says, O Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing. I did some extensive research this week in the original languages of the Bible to see what that word nothing means. You know what that word nothing means? Nothing. You guys are good. You guys are sharp. Way smarter than that 10:30 audience. Way smarter. You guys are sharp. It means nothing. 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 He's a capable father. He can handle any problem you give him. Nothing is beyond him. Nothing. I mean, just think about this God, this powerful God we serve. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Just think about the God who created all of this, from mountains to oceans to beaches. That's all God. The God who created the billions of stars in the sky. The God who created the sun. And he put the sun at the exact perfect distance so we wouldn't freeze to death or burn up. God did that. God who performed miracle after miracle. God who gave Abraham and Sarah a baby when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 99. He gave them a baby before the days of Viagra. God did that. God did that. God who parted the Red Sea, 2 million people passed through, and then collapsed the sea again on the pursuing Egyptian army and killed them all. God. The God who provided for those same 2 million people in the wilderness for 40 years. He provided food for them. 2 million people. Imagine providing food for 2 million people. It's hard enough to say, you know, Mom, Dad, what's for dinner? I don't know. Jeez, are you hungry again? 2 million people saying that. 2 million people. And God providing for them every day. Food appeared on the ground. Some of you might remember what that was called. Anybody? Manna. Yeah. God did that. God did that. Who sent his son to give his life for us and then raise him from the dead that we might have life. God did that. Look what the next verse says, Ephesians 3:20. God is able. Say those words with me, please, out loud, would you? God is able. One more time. God is able. I said to you, if you were here, I said, those are the three words for 2022. If you've been with us, God is able. 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 And look at God, Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do what? To do far more than we could ever imagine or dream of or think of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes. God is able. So let me ask you a question. What have you been doubting that God can't handle in your life? That's too hard. That's too big. That change is impossible because God specializes in the impossible. Last weekend, we celebrated Easter, right? Easter, where God raised a dead man back to life. If God can raise a dead man back to life, he can raise a dead issue. He can raise a dead marriage. He can raise a dead health issue. He can raise dead finances. He can raise a dead dream. He can raise a dead degree. God can do it. God can do anything. That's the kind of God we serve. He's close. He's caring. And he is also capable. He's a father. He loves you. He is our Father. Would you pray with me? Maybe you just want to bow your heads for just a moment. Would you pray with me for just a moment? And maybe as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just a simple way of connecting with God right now. And God, I want to thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives right now. And look, for some of you, look, this is your opportunity. That even as we talked about this today, I know probably most of us, the room, online, we probably, you know, God, we know God, kind of think we know God, kind of this, maybe this thing, but today it was all about relationship today. You know, maybe for some of you, it's like the bin. Maybe the bin has just been sitting there on a shelf someplace or under the bed or stashed away in a closet or who knows where it was at your house. Maybe God has been like that. Maybe just, yeah, he's there. But today, you're unpacking the bin and you're saying, God, I want to be in this relationship again. Maybe today is just about renewing this relationship with God again. Just renewing it with God again. Just saying, God, I just got this. I want to just renew this relationship with you again. Maybe today is that day. And so I just want to invite you, maybe today you're just going to take a step. And you're going to say, God, I know about you. Yeah, I've made a decision to follow you. But God, you just kind of been God on the shelf, but today, I'm in. Father, dare I say, Dad? God, I want this to be about so much more, Father, than just knowing about you. But I want to know you. I want to be in a relationship with you. And even if you've never had a relationship with your earthly father, our Father God is dying to be in this relationship with you. matter what age you may be in this room today or online today, no matter what age you may be, it's not about an age. It is connecting with God as Father. So God, I just simply want to thank you that you know us, that you love us, and you want to be in this relationship with us. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy be your name. Thank you, God, that we can call you Father, and we can know you as Father. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.